Just a heads up, there's a little swearing in this episode. Okay, here's the show.
Let me tell you something. There is no nobility in poverty.
If you've seen The Wolf of Wall Street, then you are familiar with Jordan Belfort.
I have been a rich man and I have been a poor man, and I choose rich every fucking time. Because at least as a rich man, when I have to face my problems, I show up in the back of a limo wearing a $2,000 suit and a $40,000 gold fucking watch.
That's Leonardo DiCaprio playing Belfort. Salesman, stockbroker, criminal, and now, long after the events in that movie, cryptocurrency enthusiast. Which is how New York Times reporter David Yaffe Bellany found himself at the real Jordan Belfort's house in Miami a few years ago, covering a crypto seminar.
I remember everyone gathered in the backyard on the first day for a kind of like introduction, you know, meet and greet sort of event with made-to-order omelets and mimosas and other fancy breakfast stuff. And everyone was kind of milling around for 20 minutes and Jordan hadn't shown up yet. And then finally he kind of emerges from a porch, which is sort of elevated, and people kind of look up as he sort of walks out in, you know, faded jeans and sunglasses and sort of stares down at his empire. And I remember he made a comment about how everybody was a man. And he was like, oh, we got to get some more feminine adoption of cryptocurrency, maybe next year.
There was someone else there that day who David met. Another crypto fan, a guy with the improbable name Chase Hero.
And he's just kind of like an instant jolt of energy. And you could tell that the guys loved him. You know, he talked really fast. He was kind of throwing out crypto jargon. You know, he swore a lot. And it was just a kind of like sort of very bro-y vibe. And, you know, clearly Jordan's guests were enjoying themselves. And I remember thinking, huh, like, I've never heard of this guy. You know, does he have any like real background in the crypto industry? But, you know, he sounded really impressive. He was a good talker.
By the end of the day, David says, guys were lining up to get Chase Hero's number. Would you ever have predicted that he would go into business with Donald Trump?
So I didn't hear anything about Chase Hero for the next 2 years. I mean, he's not really a prominent figure in the crypto world. But I always remembered him as this kind of like, you know, crazy guy who'd shown up at Jordan's house. And then, you know, when I found out that he was now, you know, Donald Trump's personal crypto guru, I was shocked, frankly, but also kind of amused. It was sort of, you know, like things had come full circle in my crypto reporting career.
Today on the show, how two guys with a trail of lawsuits, debts, unpaid taxes, prison time, and a former business called Date Hotter Girls ended up running the Trump family crypto venture. I'm Lizzie O'Leary, and you're listening to What Next TBD, a show about technology, power, and how the future will be determined. Stick around. Have you heard about Doublenomics? It's okay if you haven't. It's extremely niche and practiced by Discover. Here's an example. Discover automatically doubles the cash back earned on your credit card at the end of your first year with Cashback Match. That means with Discover, you could turn $150 cash back to $300. It pays to Discover. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Your team members spend over half their time writing. And we all know how that happens. One confusing email turns into 12 confused replies, then a meeting to get aligned. Grammarly is a trusted AI writing partner that saves your company from miscommunication and all the wasted time and money that goes with it. When every word your team writes is clear, concise, and on brand, everything gets better. 4 out of 5 professionals say Grammarly helps them gain buy-in and action through their communication. Grammarly helps you improve the substance, not just the style, of your writing by identifying exactly what is missing. Teams that communicate better with Grammarly report 25% faster time to resolution for support tickets and 52% less time spent writing sales emails, saving 19 days per year per employee. Grammarly works where you work, from docs to messages to emails. It integrates seamlessly across 500,000 apps and websites. No cutting, no pasting, no context switching. Equip your team with the gold standard of responsible AI. 15 years of experience, just about every IT certification, and never sells your data. Join 70,000 teams and 30 million people who trust Grammarly to get results on the first try. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly, enterprise ready AI.
It speaks volume, Mr. President, and thank you for being here tonight.
Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate the remarks. It was quite something.
But in mid-September, Donald Trump spoke on a live stream on the platform X to unveil the crypto project called World Liberty Financial. At least, that's what he was supposed to do. He actually spent most of the time railing against Biden, Kamala Harris, and talking about the election.
I mean, you have Kamala, she was the border czar. I call her the comrade because she's a Marxist.
Eventually, his sons joined the stream to talk about the business. Even now, it is not entirely clear what the business part of the business is.
Piecing together what they've said publicly and what I and other reporters have sort of gleaned from talking to people behind the scenes, it is a platform designed to facilitate borrowing and lending in cryptocurrencies. Not quite an exchange. You know, an exchange like Coinbase is a place where you go to kind of convert your dollars into Bitcoin or into Ether and, you know, basically buy cryptocurrencies. You can think of this as sort of like a step more complicated in the financial engineering. It's a platform that allows you to do sort of more sophisticated transactions where, you know, you pledge a certain amount of crypto as collateral and then get some crypto back that you can do other things with. And this is part of a kind of segment of the crypto industry known as decentralized finance. And the idea behind that is let's basically create the whole financial system with all of the kind of complicated and risky maneuvers that it entails, but in a world in which there's no kind of central authority supervising it.
If you were to take the Trump name out of it, does it seem like an attractive business proposition right now in 2024?
I mean, a lot of people have made the point that there doesn't appear to be anything especially new or innovative about this project. You know, what's striking about it is that Donald Trump is involved. But there are already lots of platforms in the kind of DeFi space, as it's known, where you can borrow and lend cryptocurrencies. And so it's not clear whether the guys behind this project are actually doing anything new. The crypto industry, you know, was in terrible shape a year and a half ago, but has been on sort of a rebound since then. And the prices of a lot of the major coins have gone up over the last year. And so it's not a terrible time to get into crypto. And yet, you know, we've learned a lot about the risks of this industry over the last 2 years. And so I think anybody contemplating investment, you know, should probably think hard.
Trump has been very vocal about his support for crypto in this election cycle, which is a complete 180 from when he called it a scam back in 2021. Even with this newfound affinity, it seems like Trump the man is keeping an arm's length distance from World Liberty Financial, while also somehow keeping Trump the name at the center.
There is a white paper for World Liberty Financial that circulated among people involved in the project, you know, before it was publicly announced. And in that white paper, there's kind of a little caveat that says Trump, no one in the Trump family actually owns this platform. But, you know, they may be compensated for their involvement. And so that was pretty nonspecific about what exactly the nature of their involvement is. So we don't really know. But, you know, based on the information that's out there, it doesn't sound like Trump actually owns this business. But he's certainly its most kind of important and aggressive promoter.
Let's talk about the other two promoters, Chase Hero, who you talked about a bit, and Zachary Folkman. How would you describe these guys?
So these guys kind of fit a mold that I've seen a lot in the crypto industry over the years, which is sort of the serial entrepreneur, somebody who kind of moves from business to business, trying to strike it rich. And when one thing fails, they quickly rebound and start a new thing. And, you know, that's a pattern that, you know, both these guys have shown in their business careers. You know, they've sort of moved from one company to the next, often trailed by lawsuits, accusations of unpaid bills, but they sort of profess to have this kind of relentless optimism in their own abilities and seemingly have struck it rich to some degree. You know, Chase bought a really expensive house in Florida at one point. You know, they both appear in YouTube videos where they kind of show off their fancy homes and fancy cars. And, you know, that's sort of a really, it's a kind of a common type in the crypto world.
Chase's life story has a lot of ups and downs. He went to prison on drug-related charges, then made his name by going from broke to millionaire in 14 days through e-commerce. Here he is talking to Logan Paul.
Explain. First 14 days of January, I made $1 million net. I brought my girl back. I got a car for her. I became a man.
Zach took a somewhat different path.
You know, shortly after graduating college, Folkman assumed the pseudonym Zach Bauer and started giving pseudonyms on basically how to pick up women at bars. And if you watch the videos, they're a little cringy. You know, he's basically standing in front of roomfuls, like a room full of men, trying to, you know, teach them how to hook up with girls.
Which was why I wanted to get in this in the first place, which was, you know, to take girls home and have sex, right? I mean, is there any guy in here who has a different goal than that when it comes to meeting and dating girls? Exactly.
And yeah, he continued that for a while and then kind of moved on to other projects. But that appears to have been his sort of entrance into the world of entrepreneurship.
There is, as you've mentioned, this kind of fascinating Venn diagram in the crypto space. Like Miami plus bros plus serial entrepreneurs. And I wonder how much actual crypto experience did these two guys have?
So this is another kind of question about them. I mean, these guys are not well-known in the crypto world. When their involvement in the Trump Project was announced, a lot of kind of prominent crypto people came out and said, you know, we've never heard of these guys. I mean, a lot of, you know, it was very difficult for me to find out much about them because I would call up some of the movers and shakers in the crypto scene. They would say, you know, we've never interacted with them. We've never heard about them. You know, they claim to have been kind of relatively early investors in crypto and to have made a lot of money doing that. Chase registered a company called Pacer Capital in the U.S. Virgin Islands, which was some sort of crypto trading operation that he did for a few years. And, you know, when Chase showed up at Jordan's house, he sort of presented himself as somebody who was kind of early in crypto, knew a lot about it, was excited about its potential. So they're not complete, you know, neophytes, but at the same time, you know, they don't have any experience running a high-profile crypto business. Their most recent crypto project was something called Doe Finance, another sort of DeFi endeavor that got hacked over the summer and lost about $2 million. So, you know, not the greatest starting point for this new venture.
When we come back, how'd these guys get so close to Trump anyway?
This episode is brought to you by Lumen. Your metabolism is your body's engine, so optimizing your metabolic health translates to easier weight management, improved energy levels, better fitness results, and better sleep. Introducing Lumen, the world's first handheld metabolic coach. It's a device that measures your metabolism through your breath. To use Lumen, all you have to do is breathe into your Lumen device first thing in the morning, and then the app lets you know if you're burning fat or carbs. Then, Lumen gives you a personalized nutrition plan for that day based on your measurements. It also gives you tailored guidance to improve your nutrition, workouts, sleep, and even stress management. Breathe into it before and after workouts and meals so you know exactly what's going on in your body in real time. And Lumen will give you tips to keep you on the top of your health game. Take the next step in improving your health. Go to lumen.me/TBD to get 15% off your Lumen. That's lumen.me/TBD for 15% off your purchase.
Innovation is important to the future of many businesses, and processes need to be clear, fast, and ultimately more productive. Take a big step to solving these problems with the Innovation Workspace from Miro. The Innovation Workspace comes loaded with AI-enabled tools to help teams get from idea to output faster. Miro's Innovation Workspace will help your teams accelerate through the full innovation development cycle, helping them to be faster, more productive, and ultimately more effective. Its new AI-powered tools and features can visualize tasks ahead, condense documents to produce summaries in seconds, and even create complex diagrams and flowcharts using natural language. It's designed to complement and sync with existing apps and platforms you use every day, like Jira and Azure, so everything operates smoothly and easily, and everyone's on the same page to rapidly innovate, iterate, develop, and ship. Whether you work in innovation, product design, engineering, UX, Agile, or IT, bring your teams to Miro's revolutionary innovation workspace and be faster from idea to outcome. Go to Miro.com to find out how. That's Miro.com.
This episode is brought to you by Glean. AI has the potential to help everyone be more efficient at work, but only if it deeply understands the data, people, processes, and context specific to your work. That's exactly what Glean's Work AI platform does. Glean has proven to be a helpful tool for finding disparate information across companies. Glean starts by connecting and understanding all your company data across apps you use every day, like Slack and Teams. Glean's powerful AI assistant helps you find answers, generate content, and automate work. With Glean, engineers ship code faster, sales reps better understand their customers, support agents resolve cases more accurately, and IT teams deflect questions and solve issues automatically. Use Glean to build no-code and low-code custom generative AI apps and agents that scale the power of your company's knowledge anywhere it's needed. Hundreds of enterprises, including some of the world's leading technology, telecom, retail, manufacturing, and banking businesses, put AI to work with Glean. Visit glean.com/TBD to see how Glean can help every employee at your company do their best work with AI. That's glean.com/TBD to request a demo today. Glean, work AI for all.
Do we know how they hooked up with the Trump family?
The exact details are unclear, but based on what they've said publicly, it appears that they had some sort of relationship with a guy named Zachary Witkoff, who's a crypto investor and also, most importantly, the son of Steve Witkoff, a real estate investor who's one of Donald Trump's closest friends. He was actually at the golf course in Florida with Trump during the most recent assassination attempt. So, you know, through Zach Witkoff, they were introduced to Steve, and then Steve kind of set them up with the Trump family. And, you know, it appears that over the past few months, they've spent a lot of time talking to Don Jr., to Eric Trump, and even to Barron Trump about crypto and about the sort of contours of this new project.
There's a quote from Don Jr. in one of your stories that's really amazing, where he says, you could put them in a boardroom at Goldman Sachs and they're going to smoke the people in the room. But I got to say, listening to you describe them, that does not actually sound true.
Look, they don't have the resumes of people who would do that. And I think you're right to point out the absurdity of that kind of claim. And yet, I do almost get it a little bit. And I think that's from having heard Chase in action at Jordan Belfort's house.
He's charming, right?
He's a good salesman. He's a good salesman. He's articulate. He talks really fast. And he presents himself in a way where you kind of get swept up in what he's saying. And then maybe only later do you think about whether it actually made sense. And so, you know, it surprises me that he's ended up as Trump's crypto guru on some level, but it also sort of makes perfect sense. You know, he's good at selling himself, and clearly he's succeeded in doing that.
It's also really interesting to me that this seems, like many Trump things, to be a family venture. The sons are in on this, especially Barron. What? Isn't he a college student?
Yeah, Barron is a freshman at NYU who apparently is just really into crypto. And on the live stream kind of announcing World Liberty Financial, Donald Trump said that Barron has multiple crypto wallets and that, you know, he's talked to Barron about crypto. And, you know, based on our reporting, one thing that we found is that Steve Witkoff, you know, wanted to involve Barron in the project partly because he kind of wanted to steer this kid toward a kind of legitimate type of crypto venture and away from, you know, scammier segments of the crypto industry, like meme coins, which are cryptocurrencies that are just kind of based on online memes and have no real utility.
The classic example being Dogecoin.
Exactly. The original meme coin. Yeah.
It's really interesting because when you think about where the crypto industry is now, it has been through so much. Obviously, the FTX implosion, SBF's trial, a big cratering in the market, things coming back up. But now, crypto appears to be a pretty interesting force in this election, both from a campaign finance standpoint, and now, I guess, with World Liberty Financial. As someone who has covered the industry, are you surprised that crypto is playing a big role in this election?
Yeah, honestly, I'm pretty shocked. I mean, if you had told me a year and a half ago, kind of post-FTX implosion, that this was going to happen, I wouldn't have believed you. And as an American citizen too, it's sort of an interesting illustration of how our politics work, because most people don't care about crypto. Americans are not invested in it. You know, it is not a kind of Main Street political issue. And yet you have Trump talking about it seemingly all the time. And, you know, the cynical interpretation of that is that it's all about money. You know, the crypto industry has poured tens of millions of dollars in political donations into this election. You know, there's a super PAC funded by crypto companies that's one of the largest in the country, and that has basically spent more aggressively than any other industry.
And I think that's shocking to people who don't pay attention to crypto.
Yeah. I mean, the industry has a huge kind of war chest and the ability to essentially force its set of issues onto the political scene. And I mean, you also have crypto companies kind of trying to make the case that there is such thing as a single issue crypto voter, and that a lot of those people happen to live in swing states, which is an assertion that I find fairly dubious, and that's mostly supported by like industry commission surveys and that sort of thing. Against all the odds, you know, crypto is a legitimate campaign issue this year.
Crypto has always had shady characters, some of whom have gone to jail. But then there are also people who have an air of legitimacy, who run the big exchanges and who are either working with or somewhat under the aegis of regulators, talking to the SEC. If Donald Trump wins and WLF becomes a thing, what does that mean? It feels like sort of two things. Number one, a conflict of interest. And number two, I don't know, a return to the total Wild West of crypto?
Yeah, I mean, ask any kind of government ethics expert and they'll tell you this is an enormous conflict of interest. I mean, whether or not Trump actually owns the platform, he clearly has some sort of financial stake in its success. And as president, he would be in a position to influence regulations that ultimately dictate whether the platform succeeds or not in the U.S. I mean, the SEC has kind of embarked on this war against crypto, where they've basically argued that virtually all cryptocurrencies are unregistered securities. And the effect of that is to try to almost drive crypto off of American soil. You know, on the campaign trail, Trump has said he's going to end that SEC war on crypto. He's going to fire Gary Gensler, the SEC chair, who's sort of hated in the crypto industry. And if he actually followed through on all those promises, then he would create a much kinder sort of playing field for his own company. So it's sort of obvious where the conflict of interest lies.
If you could find out one thing about World Liberty Financial before this election, what would it be?
That's a great question. I think I would love to understand the extent of the president's actual involvement a bit better. You know, is he just a kind of figurehead, you know, the person whose name they put on the poster, or, you know, is he sort of intimately involved in it? And, you know, I think I'd love to know how Chase made that pitch to the Trump sons and how he sold them. Because having heard him in action once, I know it was probably pretty fun to watch.
David Yaffe Bellany, thank you so much for your reporting and for talking with me.
Of course. Thanks for having me on.
David Yaffe Bellany is a reporter covering crypto for The New York Times. And that is it for our show today. What Next TBD is produced by Evan Campbell, Patrick Fort, and Shayna Roth. Our show is edited by Paige Osborne. Alicia Montgomery is Vice President of Audio for Slate. And TBD is part of the larger What Next family. And if you like what you heard, the best way to support us is by joining Slate Plus. You get all your Slate podcasts ad-free, as well as exclusive bonus content like What Next's The Surge, which unpacks the craziest political news every week leading up to Election Day. We'll be back on Sunday with an episode about 23andMe's potential implosion and what that might mean for your data. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Thanks so much for listening.
Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts for the power, performance, and reliability of a new SuperStart battery. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.